Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God, and we're going to talk about hierarchies and Christarchies, and we're going to talk about the princes are rebellious and companions of thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widow come into them. What are we talking about there? We're talking about Isaiah 1:23, and the lovers of gifts are the lovers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And we know that the greatest destroyers of freedom are the givers of gifts, gratuities, and benefits. And it would be almost comical if we understood what was really going on in the world today, in all the countries of the world. People are concerned about governments getting too much power and abusing the people, abusing their God-given rights, abusing their position in the world. And the reason why they are able to do this is because men are not what they ought to be. They are the princes of rebellious and companions of thieves. They loveth gifts, and they followeth after reward. They want benefits. They want lots of benefits. They want free education. They want free health care. They want all kinds of things for free, but it's not for free. It comes to them from men who call themselves benefactors but exercise authority one over the other. And Christ told us not to be that way, not to pray to those fathers of the earth. And yet we do it. We do it by the millions, by the billions. People are looking to the government to solve all their problems, to provide all their salvation from the problems of the world, their security. And that is wrong. It is a bad idea. And they fail. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth that cause the widow to come unto them. What do they mean, judge not the fatherless? Judge who is the fatherless, who really needs help. And they don't want the widows to come unto them. I had somebody who wanted to be a part of His Holy Church for a long time. He talked about becoming a part of one of our religious groups and congregations. But I said, you know, really our focus is not on getting people out of the system, but getting people to judge the fatherless and the cause of the widow. In other words, taking care of the widows and orphans. And he said, what are the widows and orphans to me? What have they ever done for me? And that just told you the spirit in which he was coming. He was not coming in the spirit of Christ. He thought he was a Christian, but he wasn't coming to serve. I mean, there was some of that. That's the thing, is we're complex creatures. Some of us want to do what's right. Some parts of us want to do what's right. But there are other parts of us that are still selfish. And the fact is, we can't cut you in half and just take the unselfish part. You have to get rid of the unselfish part. So you have to come seeking the kingdom with the intent to serve one another. The intent to become the social welfare system that operates according to the perfect law of liberty by faith, hope, and charity. That's what you have to do. And you cannot do that unless you gather together. Because you won't be able to judge the fatherless. You won't be able to cause the widows to come unto you, because you're just this guy out there floating around doing his own thing. You know, I mean, he'll help somebody. You know, I saw somebody the other day who had a flat tire, and I helped them out. I must be a Christian. Well, it's great you helped them out, but you're not like the early church, who were actually organized in the way they did things. Did they have a hierarchy? Did they have a Christarchy? Well, the problem isn't the word higher. That doesn't mean higher, H-I-G-H-E-R. That's H-I-E-R, air-archy. The problem is the word archy. Archy is the word for a ruler, one who exercises authority one over the other. And that is the problem. There is anarchy in the church, in the church appointed by Jesus Christ. But it is Christ who is the archy. It is not the individual. It is Christ ruling in the heart of the individual. There is a higher, which is the heir, those he appointed. He appoints them, and they lay hands on somebody else, and they appoint them, etc., etc. But they're not rulers. They don't exercise authority one over the other, because they're not archy. The problem is the archy part of being rulers who exercise authority. What they exercise is service, charity, which is what Christ came to do. What did he say? Which is better, him that sits and eats at meat or him that serveth? He come to serve. And that is what we need to realize also, is that we need to come to serve one another. And that's why we gather together in congregations, and we make a record of that, because they say in the Bible to establish all things but with two or more witnesses. So we form congregations of record. Congregations of record means you say, yeah, I want to be a part of this congregation because I accept this minister as a minister of Christ. I think this guy is a minister of Christ. Not everybody who accepts the minister has really thought out what that means, what that looks like. Is that person really like Christ? Does he meet the requirements of being the minister of the church as it says in Timothy? And in other parts of the New Testament, they talk about it. Do you think this person really manifests the Spirit of Christ, or is he a little mixed up on what the Spirit of Christ really looks like? The definition of socialism is a theory or a system of social organization that advocates the vesting of ownership and control of the means of production and distribution of capital, of land, etc., in the community as a whole. But in Israel, in the kingdom of God, the investment of the means of production and distribution of capital, of land, is in the individual. Each individual is king and priest over that which God has given him. The state is in his hands, and he needs to be in the state that he ought to be. And the state he ought to be is the state of grace. And the state of grace comes by faith in Christ. And faith in Christ is fidelity to Christ. And fidelity is Christ, is to have Christ in you. And to have Christ in you is what it means to do things in the name of Christ. Because you are actually acting like Christ, who came to what? To rule? Archy? Or to serve? Are you coming together to serve, or are you coming together in your congregations because it feels good, because you feel self-righteous, because our group's got it and your group ain't? So, you know, we talk about this all the time. We've written books on it, we've written articles on it, but a lot of people are still missing it. There is a rank in the kingdom of God. We know this when the Roman centurion says, I too am a man of authority. I don't need to go. All I need to do is say, go do this, and I know it will be done. Because he is a man of authority over others, and he is also a man under authority. But the Roman army at one time moved with personal loyalty to each other and to the men and officers they worked for. It wasn't that you were forced by those officers that you had to obey. You wanted to. There was a relationship there. Everybody had swords. Everybody had power. They got away from that. And then before you knew it, you had, you know, the armies were putting different commander in chiefs in charge, and then another army would come along and take them out and kill them and put somebody else in, and they were changing emperors every month. And of course, we will see that same thing happen in the world today. because we're going the same way of Rome. These are, it's not a prophecy, it's just, you know, history repeats itself. But the church was doing something completely different. They were not binding people by contracts, covenants, and constitutions. They were binding people by love, and that love was created by being of service, by judging the fatherless. In other words, judging, oh, this person needs help. And dealing with the cause of the widows, the needy of their society, and what they call pure religion. This is why James says pure religion is taking care of the needy and, you know, the orphans and the widows of your society, unspotted from the world, which was the constitutional order or system of government. That's what that word there means. The word world there means. That's how it's defined in theirs. That's what it means. So they were taking care of each other without Rome, which had a hierarchy, which had rulers who exercised authority. They were authorities over others and forced their obedience. They forced the contributions of the people. They forced the compliance of the people. They were a hierarchy. It's amazing how many people, they say, oh, we don't have a hierarchy in the church. You don't even go to church to take care of your widows and orphans. You go to the hierarchy of modern government, the ones who exercise authority one over the other. That's where you go to take care of your widows and orphans and needy of your society. You go to them. Your contribution to your church is called your Social Security payment and your income tax and other excise and tribute taxes that you make. That's how you take care of your society. Early Christians, they had to pay certain fees and excises. If they used a harbor, they would have to pay that fee. That's an excise tax on the use of the harbor. And if they used certain roads, they would have to pay an excise tax. That's why you pay a gasoline tax. That's how you pay for the roads. But how do you take care of your widows and orphans? You do it through your system of Corban. Corban meaning sacrifice, a system of sacrifice whereby you take care of the needy of your society, where you provide the salvation for the needy of your society through the Corban that you signed up for, which is the funds for which are collected by men who exercise authority one over the other. And they are your fathers. They are the fathers of the earth that Jesus was talking about when he said, call no man father, but pray to our Father who art in heaven. Very simple concepts. Very real in history. Very real in the context of the Bible. Because this is the way it's been since the beginning. You take care of yourself and your neighbor with free will offerings through love, casting your bread upon the waters in hopes that they will be there for you, or you sign up with Sodom and Gomorrah, or some of the other Greek city-states, and you say, you take care of us, and we will pay you a portion of our labor in a Corvi system of statutory bondage, and we will be your human resources. This is what you've done. This is contrary to what the Bible says in the Old Testament, contrary to what the Bible says in the New Testament. You are to give to God what is God and to Caesar what is Caesar's, but you have given to Caesar what is God, and now you must bow down and serve Caesar in order to get your benefits and take care of the fatherless and the widows of your society. And what you give in is your contribution, and when it is used up and there is no more, they will go to your neighbors and force them to contribute to your welfare at the point of a gun or sword or spear or whatever they use. You know, they'll use all kinds of things, and they will take care of you because you, and you won't say, I don't want benefits that are collected by force. I only want benefits that are collected by the perfect law of liberty. If you said that, If all the people who say they are Christians in America would do that, that we do not want to live by the sword, we do not want benefits but that are obtained by the sword of men who exercise authority one over the other. We only want benefits that are provided through faith, hope, and charity. The world would be a different place to live. But those Christians have gone whoring after other gods. They have made covenants with them. They have prayed to them for benefits, knowing that they will not give them anything except what they take away from their neighbor. So every time they desire those benefits, they covet their neighbor's goods, and they violate the Ten Commandments. They violate the will of God, and they do not really believe in what Christ was saying, because Christ said the Corban of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect, and the Corban of the Pharisees was how they took care of their mother and father when they were elderly and in need, and the widows and their orphans. Through the treasury, the Corban of the Pharisees that was collected by compelled offerings with statutory limits set up by the Sanhedrin. That's just a matter of history. That's the way it went. And when they started spending that money on other things like aqueducts, etc., there were riots in the streets. Matter of historical documentation. Because they had gone to a hierarchy who exercised authority instead of a higher service-oriented system of public servants who received your contributions, your free will offerings, and took care of the needs of society through those gifts. Two different systems. Been that way from the beginning. You can go to Ur and have a hierarchy. You can go to Haran, have a hierarchy. Or you can go out to Abraham and set up altars of clay, that's all you families, and altars of stone, that's the ministers you look out amongst yourselves and choose, and sacrifice upon those living altars of stone. Give your sheep, if you're sheep herders, and a lot of them were sheep herders out there. If you're a weaver, you would give some wool blankets, and they would distribute them. If you were a gold miner, you would give gold. If you were a silver miner, you would give silver. If you were, whatever you did, you give a portion of whatever you made in as an offering to help take care of the needy of your society, and your society would be bound together by faith, hope, and charity and love, and the perfect law of liberty would reign in your society. You used to do that in places like America. That's how you took care of your needy. It was really worked pretty good. But you don't do that anymore. And you have a different society today. For that reason alone. Now just think, if Christians actually repented of praying to the hierarchy of government and came together and started providing for one another through faith, hope, and charity, actually repented of the one and sought the other, the whole world would turn around. The whole world would turn around. If all Christians in America alone did that, the whole world would turn around. If all the Christians in the whole world would do that, the world would become a haven, a heaven on earth. A haven for righteousness, and God would bless us accordingly. But as long as we go whoring after the gods who exercise authority one over the other in order to obtain our salvation by coveting our neighbor's goods, we will be snared in what should have been for our welfare, and we will be human resources, we will be merchandise because of our covetousness. Which is what Peter says, through covetousness you will be made merchandise. Done deal. Already happened. You're already there. You're already collateral merchandise for debt. This is where you've gone. And there's no going back unless you repent. Turn around and start becoming the higher servants of Christ. The heir servants of Christ. The appointed church of Christ. and start doing what the early church was doing. And did just in time, because Rome began to collapse. First, they took the silver out of the coin, already done deal in America, in the world today. Done deal in Israel. They did it even before us. Done deal in Canada. Done deal in Mexico. Done deal everywhere. They took the silver out of the coin. Now they're even taking the gold out of the coin. Now, actually, there are some silver and gold coins around. But if you're a human resource, you can't count that as yours. You can have the use of it, but they can take it away from you anytime they want. So if you stockpile it up, lots of luck with that. They can take it away from you again. Even though SJR 192 was repealed, it was repealed under the condition that you didn't actually own that resource, that capital. You haven't had capitalism in the United States since 1913. Certainly since 1933. Absolutely since 1970. So people will say, how's that capitalism working out for you? I don't know. Haven't been doing it. Because you've been under the theory or system of social organization that advocates that the vesting of ownership and control of the means of production and distribution of capital and land, etc., in the community as a whole is in the hands of the state. You don't own any land. We explain this in law versus legal. You don't own any land at all. You do not have the right to the use of the land that you paid $100,000, $400,000 for. You do not own it. You have a legal title that does not include, by definition, the beneficial interest. And the beneficial interest is the ownership. You are not the owner of the land. You are owner of a legal title that allows you to use the land as long as you pay the use tax. You are not even the owners of your own labor anymore. Employed versus enslaved in Covenants of the Gods. You are not the owners of your labor. The state owns your labor, and they can say, well, this year you're going to give 20%. Oh, no, we changed our mind. This year you're going to give 30%. Oh, no, we changed our mind. This year you're going to give 40%. You're not the owners of your money. You can't even be the owners of gold and silver anymore if you're a citizen of the United States. And the same goes for Canadians and Mexicans and Australians and all these people, because the same system is everywhere. The whole world. I can't find a country, although there are a few groups out there without specific countries, and maybe there might be one country, that is not a part of that system. Might be one. But even them, I can't find anyone with the Spirit of Christ that you could count as those countries. Now, someone sent me, the author Wesley Webster wrote something in 1996, and he called it the Hierarchy or Christarchy. And he talks about this thing of hierarchy and it is the church a hierarchy? And of course it's not, because it isn't anarchy. It isn't exercise. It's an anti-archy. We do not exercise authority. We do not compel your offerings. We do not tell you what you can do and cannot do. We have every bit of authority to say that if you are a fornicator or a liar or a backbiter or all these other things, that we can say, we don't want to have anything to do with you anymore. Now, if you are brought to us and they say that you are an adulterer or a fornicator, we can say, go and sin no more. I will not accuse you. But we have to see the fruits of repentance. But we're going to talk about hierarchy and Christarchy, and what this article of Wesley Webster is all about when we return to Keys of the Kingdom. And we're going to see if you really know the way that Christ taught. Be right back.
My name is Mark, and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realized that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbor as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, "God bless America," and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth, as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. We're talking about Thy Princes Are Rebellious and Companions of Thieves. Everyone loveth gifts and followeth after rewards. They judge not the fatherless, neither doth the cause of the widows come unto them. Yet they think they're saved. They think they're Christians. They think they're following the ways of Christ, and they have need of repentance. Now, I understand the complexity of mankind is that you see an error and you say, I repent of that error and I seek the ways of Christ and I accept Christ and I accept the love of Christ and I repent and all that stuff, and great. And there is a change in them. But they may have even turned around a little bit from what they were doing before. Have they turned all the way around? Are they back facing all of Christ? Are they accepting all of Christ? Are they going in the way of Christ? Are they actually moving in the direction of Christ? Or are they just looking at Christ far off, saying, I really ought to move in that direction, but tomorrow maybe? You know, quit this practice of evil, this practice of self-destruction, this practice of covetousness, this practice of whatever it is that you're doing that is contrary to Christ. But I've turned around, I've accepted Christ, but I'm not going to stop my old ways. I'm not going to repent of my old ways. I'm going to keep doing them. I'll repent of a couple of them because they were really making me look bad. But I'm going to go back to my old ways. The fact is, you can't change. You have been given over to a reprobate mind. And you cannot make yourself good. But you can head back to the Father with a hope of service to the Father like the prodigal son. You need to do that. You need to go back to the Father with the intentions to serve. If you don't do that, you will not be king and priest. You will not. It's just not going to happen. You will take your reprobate mind with you on whatever trail you're going, but you will be off course. You know, if you leave Los Angeles headed for Japan and you are 3 degrees off in your direction, you know, you're headed for Tokyo, say, and you're 3 degrees off. I think I remember this right from my navigation days. And you continue on that course. You will miss Africa. You will miss altogether Japan, Asia, and even Africa. You'll sail right by them all. 3 degrees. That's all you have to be off. And you'll head down into the southern currents and then you'll just keep on going and you will miss entirely. It used to be amazing. The navigators who would go all the way across the ocean with no good clock to figure, you know, you have to figure longitude and latitude, and you can't figure them both unless you know the time. And they didn't have a good way of knowing the time. Now, they could take readings now and then, but it was very hard to tell exactly where you were. And they were hidden islands. These were guys who were pretty good navigators. Now, how are you at navigating towards the kingdom? You say you want to seek Christ, go the ways of Christ, know Christ, accept Christ. Abraham wanted to do God's will, and through faith, his faith was counted as righteousness. But what did he do that showed faith? That he believed that he would have a son someday? Yeah, because he left his nativity, his family. He left his family. He left his kingship as the eldest son. Haran was dead, and he was heir to Haran. He could have ruled comfortably in Haran. He had a position of prestige even in Ur. But his father picked up and left Ur and went to Haran. But he created another city-state, another system, much like Ur, much like Sodom, much like Athens, much like many of these other city-states, with better or poorer systems of benevolence. They always have to balance it out or else the people will rebel. But they're offering gifts as benefactors. That's what Nimrod was, a mighty provider instead of the Lord. That's what it means to say a mighty hunter before the Lord. He was a provider. The word there is not normally hunter. It's normally provisions. A provider. A giver of provisions. Those benefits that we see talked about in Isaiah 1:23. But they were benefits. How did he have the funds by which he could give those benefits? He took them from your neighbor. So Wesley Webster, in his article in 1996, says, how does God govern his church? Does God work primarily through one man? Is the true church a structure like a pyramid? Well, actually, a pyramid might actually be true. Depends on how you mean it. You know, a pyramid, of course, has this wide base and then goes up by steps. But are those steps of service or steps of authority? Because the Levites went up by steps, but they were naked without authority. That's why the people had to weave their underwear. That's what it says in the Old Testament. They had to make their underwear out of linen, because when they went up by steps, they would reveal their nakedness if they didn't have this underwear on, because they weren't steps of authority, but they had rank. But it was a rank determined not by power over others, but by service. Because you didn't have to tie it to your Levite. You were to tie it to a Levite, a portion of what you earned. You were to give it to him every year. And that portion might be 10%, 20%, 30%, because there were more than just the 10% sacrifice. And I say 10% loosely. I'm just using that as a figure. I'm not saying he actually had to give 10%. He was to tithe according to their service. If they provide a service, they should be a laborer worthy of his hire. He's working for God, just as the ministers of Christ should be working for Christ. They're an employee of Christ. Now, Christ does not have an employer identification number, but according to the laws in America and most countries, you can be an employee of Christ and you don't need an employee identification number. An employee identification number, such as a Social Security number, is a federal employee identification number. That's what it actually is defined. You can get one from two different places. You can get a TIN or you can get a Social Security number. They are both employee identification number, federal employee identification number. And as a federal employee, you have to pay the tax. And you can't, if you've had the number and gotten benefits with it, you can't just throw the number out because the country's in debt because you've taken those benefits. And what are those benefits? Public school education, employment, by someone who has a federal employer identification number. What should have been for your welfare has become a snare. You are snared. And don't think you can just shine it on and disregard your yes and now say no. Big mistake. That's not the plan. That's never been the plan of Christ. There is a plan that can set you free, but you have to follow that plan. And that plan is found in the true church established by Christ, because that was part of the plan. He goes on to say, for years, most of us with the Worldwide Church of God, which is evidently where he came from, WCG background, were taught that government in the church is hierarchical in form. I don't know where people get this, but evidently it did. He goes on to say, we believe God directed the church by directing the top man and everyone else through a descending chain of command. All power was invested in the top man and delegated at his sole discretion. No doctrine, ordination, or major decision could be made in the church without authorization from this earthly head. Now, that's just not the way it was originally set up, although that's not the only church that does that sort of thing. There are other churches that do it as well, and there are smaller churches that do it. Even just some home churches actually have a pastor who is just authoritarian. He just isn't in as big an organization. The minister only has authority over how he will serve because he is working for Christ, and if Christ is in his heart, Christ will tell him how he's going to serve. Whether he is going to serve in this way or serve in that way or do this or that. And it's up to the individual members of his congregation to decide whether or not he's doing a good job. Because the means of production are the people. And we are trying to deliver every man back to his family and back to his possession. And so the structure of the church is that the power is in the hands of the people. So when they tithe to a man, they are giving consent, saying, I think this man is of Christ. They are making a choice. And they can stop anytime they want. And they're not to tithe to the man to create a great central treasury of funds. The funds are supposed to be in your purse, not in some golden calf or big vault. It's in your purse. You pay him according to his service, but not to rule over you, but to serve Christ. So you have a choice to make, and you better pray about it before you pick your minister. The structure of government in the church took the form of a pyramid, he says. The earthly head at the top. No. What supports the church? It's the stones at the bottom. And they can do that. They can support that pyramid, but not to rule over them. They support it by choice. And they do this by supporting the immediate minister that they can keep an eye on. They can see what he's doing. 10 families get together and pick that minister. He goes on in his article and he talks about, it was thought, therefore, that Moses was at the top of the pyramid and that underneath him were the captains of thousands, captains of hundreds, captains of fifties, captains of tens. In descending ranks, this structure was transferred to the New Testament church by saying that the apostles sat in the seat of Moses, the earthly head of the church. No, but that's not what Moses was doing. They had their tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands, but when they chose a king who would be a central ruler, which was called a rejection of God, he had his tens, fifties, hundreds, and thousands too. But he appointed them as he saw fit. Moses was appointing those you chose. He's saying, you choose who you are going to get. He wasn't saying, this is going to be your Levite. This is going to be your Levite, and this is going to be your Levite. It was not top down. It was bottom up. You chose the minister. And you chose him by tithing to him according to his service. And he chose a minister. And that minister gathered with other ministers. And they chose a minister. And they created this rank of service. But the power was always from the bottom up, never given to the top man to come down, because it was God working in their hearts. Moses was trying to lead them people to that system from the very beginning, but they said the people were weak. They said, we can't hear God. Their hearts were too hard to have the law written in their hearts. They said, you listen to God and you tell us. You guys been doing that ever since and you're screwing up. Because now the guy sitting in the seat of Moses is sitting in the White House. And I don't care who it is. I'm not picking on the guy that's there. He's a victim of your sloth. The same as Saul was a victim of the sin of Israel. He was given too much power and it corrupted him. And you guys have been doing the same thing. Year after year, you give more and more power to the men who exercise authority because you're neglecting your responsibilities of deciding who is going to be the minister of your family. The minister of your family is down at the county seat or the state government. That's the ministers who ministers to the widows and orphans of your family. You're the ones that are greedy for gain. You're the ones that say, let's all have one purse. You're the ones who have been running to evil, as it says in Proverbs. And you are the ones that are trapped in the net of your own making. You wanted to force your neighbor to contribute to your welfare. And guess what? You are caught in that same net. Somebody said they liked something that I wrote some time ago. And I actually looked it up. I couldn't remember what it was. Anyway, I wrote, the only reason the government has the right to take from the people is because the people asked the government to take from their neighbors so that they could get personal benefit. That is called being greedy for gain. Proverbs 1 explains it well for all you Christians did not hear about that in your churches. Jesus said it to you in Luke 22:25. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles, these are your rulers, this is your archy, exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. This is what we've been doing wrong from the very beginning. This is what you have done over and over again. You read Proverbs 12:24, the hand of the diligent shall bear rule, but the slothful shall be under tribute. Slothful in what? Slothful in pure religion. Pure religion is what? Taking care of the needy through faith, hope, and charity, through the perfect law of liberty. You're not in love with liberty. You should not have it. It is too precious to give to those people who are slothful in it. You need to repent. You need to turn around. You need to go another way. And saying that you accept Jesus doesn't make that so. The hierarchy that they imagine Moses was is not what Moses was. He wanted you guys to learn to govern yourselves in faith, hope, and charity. By loving your neighbor as yourself. That's why he said you must love your neighbor as yourself. That is why Christ said you love your neighbor as yourself. And you have to tend to the weightier matters of law, judgment, mercy, and faith. This is the building block of the church. This is what he's really been talking about. In the article, he says the primary building blocks of the church, according to Carl McNair, how the church functions, roles and duties of members, hosts, deacons, and elders. Global Church News, July, August 1994. It was taught that this structure was supported by Ephesians 4:11, 1 Corinthians 12:28, which is, and God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, help, governments, diversities of tongues. He goes on, and in 13:1, though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become as a sounding of brass or a tinkling of cymbals. And I added that because that's the key. Deacons, it comes from diakonos, which actually has to do with tens. You have to go back to the original Greek and how that Greek, where that word came from. And you'll see when you read early histories of the church, not filtered down to the ones who exercise authority, but the actual events, the historical documents that are coming to light, have been coming to light slowly, squeaking past the theologians for, you know, almost several hundred years now. You'll see that the church was organized into these groups of congregations of 10 families. And their ministers were called decans or deacons or tens or tithing men. Tithing meaning 10. And this is how they did it in what has become known as France and Germany and Italy and Great Britain. All over the place they did this. And they had done it before for hundreds of years because it was the way in which Israel had been set up, and it's the only way that free governments have actually functioned throughout history, is that families come together in groups of 10 and pick somebody they trust. Trust to do what? Rule over them? No, trust to help them get organized and connect them with the next group of 10 and the next group of 10 and the next group of 10. This is the way the church was set up. Bottom up. Your responsibility. You have to carry that load of making sure that your minister is doing a good job, that he is representing you in a moral, upright fashion, that he is bringing the message of Christ because Christ is living in him. Your responsibility. If you don't do it, somebody else will step up, and it'll probably be one of those guys who exercise authority one over the other. In Ephesians 4:11 we see, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Well, who? Who are these guys? That's your job. Figure that out. I got all kinds of guys who are saying that they're apostles. They actually say they're ambassadors, because that's what the word apostolos means. It means ambassador. So when you see the word apostle, you're seeing the word ambassador. And they say they're an ambassador to Christ. I don't know if they are. That's their testimony. What's your testimony? Do you see them being ambassadors for the kingdom of God? Are they representing Christ in the way that Christ served? Do they look like the disciples who came to serve, not to rule over you, not to exercise, not to make you a human resource? Is that the way they're appearing? Or are they just running off doing their own thing? Are they calling the widows and orphans unto them? Are they judging to help and serve? Or are they just wanting to be free men and saying, everybody run for it, we're all free? You tell me. You look. Your responsibility. In the article, they go on to say, we will prove that God does not primarily work through one man. Absolutely, no problem. He works through each man. Instead, God always desires to have a direct relationship with his people. Absolutely, been that way since the beginning. That's the way it was at the foot of Mount Sinai. There wasn't any different. It was the people that failed to do that. And that's why they went from saying, Moses, you listen, to Saul, you do it. And that's why they're under tyranny. That's why they're under authority. But they want to throw off that authority. But they're already rebelled against God. I would advise you not to throw off that authority as long as you continue to rebel against God. Because you need that authority to keep you wicked people in line. You would be rioting in the streets without that authority. You deserve to be under tribute because you have been slothful in the ways of God. You have not been responsible enough to even pick a minister of 10 families who is going to take care of the social welfare of your congregation and have enough sense to gather with 9 other groups just like yours that will help you out if something so disastrous happens that you cannot take care of it. Like you live next to a nuclear power plant and you have to flee. You have to leave your home behind. And maybe even your stuff, because it's already been contaminated by radioactivity. And you have to flee to another place. Where are you going? We got our little home church. It's radioactive now, but we can't go anywhere because we don't know anybody else. Because we were just so happy with our little home church. It made us feel so good. Big mistake, folks. That's not kingdom thinking. That's selfish thinking. You didn't even want to serve another congregation. You just wanted to serve each other. And you're probably still taking from the benefactors who exercise authority and depending upon them. No, that's not the kingdom. That's not repenting. That's not turning around. That's not accepting Christ. That is not his church. You got to turn away from that. We didn't get very far in this article, and we're already at the end of the hour. This is a big, long article. But we're going to talk about these offices and what they actually were doing in the first century church in our next show. Until then, may peace be upon your house, and may God be with you.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.